What can lay people do to help support pastors and other professional church workers? The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for May is Holding Up the Prophet's Hand, Supporting Church Workers. You can purchase this new resource by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040. Holding Up the Prophet's Hand costs $12.99 plus shipping and handling, 1-800-325-3040. Or you can find out more about Holding Up the Prophet's Hand at issuesetc.org.
At a certain point, I've just concluded that for me personally, it is important for me to go ahead and affirm that I think same-sex couples should be able to get married.
They just sold me out for a few shekels more.
The president has finally ended his hypocrisy on this issue. Although he has said publicly that he did not support same-sex marriage, I think that his policies contradicted that.
The pastor piously says the Holy Spirit has led us to do this. Well, then if you continue to disagree, then it's as if you are resisting the Holy Spirit.
Organists in Indiana love Issues, etc.
The big stars among the church fathers are usually the first ones, the first several dozen of them. They were formative. They were geniuses. There's no doubt about it. They were at a time when the church was being persecuted. They were at a time when a lot of things were still being formulated. The doctrine was there in Scripture, but the church was trying to find a way of articulating it. And then as history goes by, things get kind of, well, boring. We get to the middle of the church's history, 8th, 9th century, and it's hard to care that much about what's going on, especially when it's not some big church father, but maybe just missionaries. They're brother missionaries to the Slavs in the 9th century named Cyril and Methodius. If you haven't heard of them, don't feel guilty. Maybe you've have a good reason for not hearing about them. Why should we care? The church does remember them on this day. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. We're coming to you live this Friday. It's May the 11th. Thanks for tuning us in. I'm Todd Wilkin. Pastor Heath Curtis joins us for the first few minutes of this Friday's program to talk about 9th century missionaries to the Slavs, Cyril and Methodius. A little bit later, Dr. Albert Moeller, president of Southern Baptist Theological Seminary in Louisville, Kentucky, will join us. We'll get his reaction to President Obama's recently stated support for same-sex marriage. After that, George Conger joins us from GetReligion.org. We'll talk about media coverage of splits in the Presbyterian Church USA and the church abuse scandal in Ireland. That's a story that's still unfolding in that country. Colleen Carroll Campbell will join us. We'll talk about two issues. Health and Human Services Secretary Kathleen Sebelius is going to be the commencement speaker at the graduation ceremonies in Georgetown University, Roman Catholic University. We'll also get her reaction to Vatican reform of a group of U.S. nuns. Then in the second hour of Issues Etc. on this Friday, a great opportunity talking for the entire hour with Dr. John Kleinig about how we apply or don't apply Old Testament laws as Christians today. He's emeritus lecturer at Australian Lutheran College. Our call-in number for the next 2 hours, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-6943. You can email us here in the studio, talkback at issuesetc.org, or send us a tweet at issuesetc. Pastor Heath Curtis is pastor of Trinity Lutheran Church in Warden, Illinois, and Zion Lutheran Church in Carpenter, Illinois. Heath, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Thank you, Todd.
Always remember the big names, usually from early on in the church's history. Then we get to the middle part of the church's history and things get a little slow, or at least it seems so. Why should we take note of these two brother missionaries from the 9th century, Cyril and Methodius?
Yeah, the history of the church is really, at this point in history, the history of Europe. And this becomes, as you said, quite confused in what we call the Middle Ages or the Dark Ages. But it's too bad that we don't study it more, because this has much more to tell us about our current modern world, really, than the 3rd or 4th centuries do in many ways, because this is the development of a modern-looking map of Europe. And so Cyril and Methodius are so important because they are the apostles to the second great people group of Europe who finally came to Christianity, or maybe we could say the third. You know, we have the Southern Europeans and the Greeks come to Christianity the earliest, And then slowly that faith spreads to the Germans, to the Germanic peoples. And then now the Slavs are next. And after the Slavs, it's just a cleanup operation in northeastern Europe and getting into Asia, where you have people like Lithuanians, Latvians, Prussians. They're the very last to go. But the Slavs are a huge people group, and it is through the ministry of these two brothers, Cyril and Methodius, that the faith comes to them and is really firmly rooted in that culture and transforms the whole Slavic culture to be a truly Christian people.
So what do we know about these men? And if you would, kind of before their bios, what is the state of the church? You said it's kind of centered on Europe, but what is the state of the church at this time, 9th century?
Yeah, you know, we're at a time, what's going on in Western Europe, where we as Protestants are more familiar with what's going on, you have the great revival of the Roman Empire in the West, you know, with Charlemagne. The Muslims are now confined behind the Pyrenees in Spain, and you have the consolidation of Christendom, you know, under the Frankish kings, under the German nobility, and under the popes. And in Central and Eastern Europe is still a mishmash. There's still people coming in and laying waste. There are a lot of wars. There are a lot of border wars. And finally, Christianity begins to take root here in the 9th century with these two Greek brothers. They're from Thessaloniki, as in Thessalonians. And, you know, they just have a very interesting career, because that's what's going on in the West. But in the East, we're heading into the period of high Islamic culture, of Baghdad as being the center of the Eastern world, and Greek learning is being preserved and increased in the Arab world. And Cyril and Methodius cut their teeth in that world, in the very cosmopolitan East, debating with Arabic Islamic scholars, debating with one of the truly bizarre little pieces of history, that this Jewish kingdom by the Sea of Azov. And they that's where they cut their teeth, and then they have this great desire to help out this last great people group of Europe, in the heart of Europe, and bring them the gospel, and not only the gospel, but bring them, really, civilization, as the Slavs begin to settle down into cities, and they need not only religion, they also need a civil law, which Cyril and Methodius also do.
What is the connection here to the language that bears the name of one of these brothers, Cyrillic?
Right, yeah, the Cyrillic alphabet. Well, when they come up to the Slavs, again, they're basically barbarians who have now settled into the old Roman provinces. They have had contact with Christianity through the old Roman world into which they've settled, but they still really don't have their own written language. And so the story goes, Cyril and Methodius develop an alphabet that is suited to the sounds of the Slavic language. And so those letters have a much closer resemblance to Greek letters than our own Latin alphabet does. Our Latin alphabet is also based on the Greek alphabet, but simply, you know, a good 2,000 years beforehand, so it's developed in a slightly different way. But they do that because Christianity is, above all things, a religion of the Word of God. And so you've got to have some means of written communication so that the Word of God can be handed down faithfully. And they take that very seriously and produce an alphabet that can carry the sounds of Slavic languages. And we should maybe explain, when we say Slavic, we mean Serbians, Russians, up into, in those days, up into Czechoslovakia, what's now Hungary, Bulgaria, that area of Europe, all those people groups, to this day, still have a very strong self-identification as Slavs. And so, for example, in the news, even today, you have Russia as the traditional ally of the Serbs. Well, it's because they're both Slavic peoples, and there's a great sense of Slavic identity, and that's really tied to Cyril and Methodius.
It was not only a language that was to be employed in civil use or in even translating Holy Scripture, communicating Holy Scripture, but also for the liturgical life of the church. Talk about that with the few minutes left to us.
Right. As in the Western church, we're used to Latin being the language of the church, that even after Rome ceases to be the great civil power, even after people from the Italian peninsula have really left Latin behind and speak a degraded form of Latin that we call the Romance languages, whether French or Italian or Spanish, still Latin held on. And still after the Reformation, Lutheran churches in the cities all used Luther's Latin Mass, not his German Mass, all the way down to the 18th, 19th centuries. Down to the 20th century, there's this famous episode at Concordia University where Francis Pieper is still giving the commencement speech in Latin. And so that's us in the West. Old Church Slavonic is the name of this language. It has that kind of staying presence in the Slavic churches. Many of them still worship in this ancient language, and that shows the basic conservatism of the liturgical Christian faith, that we don't even see a need all the time to even update the language we use, because by osmosis, that language gains the sanctity of the very Word of God that it's used to express.
Pastor Heath Curtis is pastor of Trinity Lutheran Church in Warden, Illinois, and Zion Lutheran Church in Carpenter, Illinois. Heath, it's always a pleasure. Thank you very much for these few minutes with you.
You bet. Thank you, Todd.
When we come back on this Friday afternoon, we're going to be talking with Dr. Albert Moeller, president of Southern Baptist Theological Seminary, hearing some comments from President Barack Obama earlier this week as he announced his support for same-sex marriage, and getting Dr. Moeller's reaction. Stay tuned.
What makes Christ Our Savior Lutheran Church in Freeburg, Illinois so special? Our new members talk about the family atmosphere, the welcoming people, and the outstanding music. But most importantly, you'll be confronted with your sin and comforted with the assurance that Jesus has removed that sin so that you can live each day as His baptized and forgiven child. Christ Our Savior Lutheran Church is at 612 North State Street in Freeburg, Illinois. Sunday worship is at 9 a.m., Sunday school and Bible classes at 10:20 a.m. Call 618-539-5664.
Do you have a student finishing up 8th grade at a Lutheran school? Do you wish there were a Lutheran high school close to where you live so your student could continue going to a Lutheran school? What if there was an opportunity for high school students in public or Lutheran school to take classes like Latin, logic, and hard-hitting theology courses? Well, there is. It's called Wittenberg Academy, the first completely online classical Lutheran high school. Visit our website, wittenbergacademy.org, to find out more.
Historic, authentic Christian radio. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. The Lutheran Church of the Good Shepherd in Greenville, South Carolina. St. Paul Lutheran, Chatfield, Minnesota. St. John Lutheran, Napoleon, Ohio. First Lutheran, Lufkin, Texas, Concordia Lutheran, Sykeston, Missouri, Hope Lutheran, Granite City, Illinois, Trinity Lutheran, Gladson, Alabama, and Lord of Life Lutheran, Chesterfield, Missouri. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, click support, and print a one-page flyer. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll advertise your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. Issuesetc.org. Click support. The Issues Etc. 300.